By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good.
I love that line.
Wednesday just got bored. Thursday goes too slow.
Welcome back, everybody. Woo, listen to that, man.
All right, the Wolfman.
Tonight, it's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill. I'm still here. I'm like the canker sore on your lip. I'll be here all week. Hi, everybody. I'm glad you're with us tonight. Matt, how are you, my friend?
I am very confused because of technical issues, but other than that, I am well, my friend.
Did the whole city get to hear a Friday on My Mind, or just you and I?
The whole city, I think, got to enjoy that particular number.
Fabulous piece of work.
Ah. Glad it is Friday.
Yeah, it is Friday night. And we're about to embark on the holiday season, man. It's right here. You know, I know Thanksgiving isn't until Thursday of next week. The busiest travel day of the year is Wednesday of next week. Next week, I think an estimated 54 million people are expected to travel across America, with the bulk of them, of course, traveling by car. 49 million Americans are expecting to drive 50 miles or more for the Thanksgiving holidays. And I think we have, 300 plus million in America? I know that the global population hit 8 billion this week. Congratulations, Mom and Dad. 8 billion people on the planet, 300 million plus in America, and 1 in 7 of you will go travel somewhere for the holidays. I myself am going to, my wife and I are going to be home for the holidays this year, not traveling, not planning on traveling for the Christmas holidays, not planning on getting on an airport. Last year I got on an airport and went south. I think I may have told you guys before that we lost my father-in-law to cancer right before the holidays last year. And I was forced to kind of travel out of forced. That's a horrible thing to say. We all got together after we lost my father-in-law down in the southwest in Albuquerque. And we decided to spend the holidays that were supposed to be spent with him one final time together as a remembrance and tribute and honor to my father-in-law, Bob Butler, who passed away last November. But it's such a nightmare to travel at the holidays, Thanksgiving especially, Christmas as well. Because everybody just decides, you know, well, it's what we do. We put it in. We go see family. We go see friends. We travel. We go to the airport. And this year, we're just staying home. We're going to maybe cook a little dinner, cook a little bird on Thursday. My daughter's in college here in town. We're lucky that our daughter goes to school locally. A lot of the kids that she goes to school with, she's going to an art school with a pretty unique curriculum that's not offered everywhere in America. Nice reputation here in town. And a lot of the students that she's met are from out of town. And while the majority of them, I think, do travel back home for the holidays, even at Thanksgiving, I know that Christmas is right around the corner, but a lot of folks, a lot of students, first-year students especially, still travel if they can home for the holidays. But we're hoping to have a bunch of students over, college kids over, for Thanksgiving night. My students classmates. Yeah. And not that they're in the same classes. They go to the same school. We're hoping to have a bunch of little art guys over, guys and gals, young men, women, and non-binary young adults who don't know quite who they are yet. That's fine. Love it. Going to have them over to the O'Neill home on Thanksgiving. We were talking this afternoon. I was on with John Curley. An injured, that's a terrible thing to say. John's feeling under the weather. He'll be fine by Monday. I was on with Cherry again today. Talking about ways to cook a turkey. And I was contemplating, you know, cooking a bird for a bunch of kids, a bunch of college kids coming over. One thing I have learned about college kids, having raised a couple of them, well, one and a half. One of them's done, one of them's just got in. They can eat like never before. My kid eats more now that she's off to college than she ever ate at home. Matt, did you go away to school when you went into college? Did you leave the home? Did you go locally? What'd you do?
Oh, no. I went way far away from home. That was part of the fun.
My wife tried the same thing. My wife told her dad she wanted to go to school in Miami because it was the furthest school she could find from Seattle. Did you notice that when you I noticed when I went off to college, I became a much less picky eater. You know, at home, I don't like that. I don't want that. Why'd you make that? Yet when you get to college, you will eat anything that isn't nailed to the table. And sometimes you'll pull it off the table, nail down, and eat that anyway because you're so damn hungry.
Truth.
And they, what do they call the freshman 15? Is that what they call it? The freshman 5, freshman 10, freshman 15? Because most schools, and I know my daughter's does, have dining plans or, you know, meal plans that they make the cafeteria slash commissary slash kitchen available to the students for a, you know, predetermined price. Where the kid, that way, as a parent, you have so much to worry about when your kid goes off to college. Them going hungry is the last thing you want to have to worry about. It's been proven that kids who are hungry or malnutritious, even worse, don't get solid meals. They can't learn as well. It inhibits their ability to concentrate and retain information. So schools always put these cafeteria situations available to the kids. And left to their own devices, kids will just eat. I mean, they're like, I think, what animal's the worst? The horses will eat until they die, right? Is it horses? One of them, one animal, you really have to be careful how they graze. Because they will eat until they bust. Maybe it's college freshman I'm thinking of. It might be, I don't know.
I'm sorry I can't draw on my extensive knowledge of my days growing up on the farm to help you with that.
You know, we got some farmers. I know we do. I read the text every night. Some of you guys definitely were raised on a farm. What animal is it that you have to be careful because they will eat until they pop? I know, your dog, I think, will eat. I've seen a dog eat its entire way through a 10-pound bag of dog food. I think cats, you have to monitor how much they eat, too. They just won't stop once they start. But I'm talking about college. And the kids coming over maybe on Thanksgiving. And what kind of spread we should put together for these college kids. I have the unfortunate bad habit of always catering to my family as far as mealtime goes. I will cook, I mean, I swear, Matt, I have on several occasions cooked 3 different dinners for 3 different people in my house. It's cows and some horses. See, I knew that. I knew we had texters who had been on farms who know this. Someone says a lion. Is that true? No, I don't think that's true. And well, you never know. I don't know. I obviously don't know. Maybe it is. Anyway, so I'm wondering what to cook for.
Well, from Guy Ritchie films, I certainly know how pigs eat.
And Shoy Turkish. God, I love that scene. Oh, my gosh. Bricktop. We can talk about that, too. A goldfish will eat. I have heard a goldfish will eat till they pop, but I don't think that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, you can't overfeed goldfish very easily.
Dude,
it's one of the mistakes people make with them.
I tell you what, man. We'll get back to Thanksgiving dinner at my house for a bunch of students I don't know in just a minute. Labrador retrievers will eat until they explode. I hope that's not from personal experience. Thank you, 206. Yeah, the text line's 888-973-5476. And I swear, I have never had a goldfish that lived. I mean, I know, everything dies. That's a fact. That's how the song goes. But my kids had goldfish that committed suicide just to make me look bad. I don't know what the hell. My daughter would go to school and I'd go, you know, as soon as she'd leave, this fish be swimming around healthy as a horse. Happy, happy, swim, swim, castle, 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 making circles. As soon as my kid left for school,
they would flop
out. They float out. They just float to the top.
I thought they'd be like trying to flop out of the bowl.
No, that was that movie. That was a great Nemo. What a great movie. Horses. Wait a minute. Horses, for some strange reasons, love cigarettes, tobacco. Really? Horses? So be careful of cigarette butts. Wow, I didn't know that. Horses eat cigarette butts? Cows will eat till they pop in horses, too. This is nice. See, Matt, there's nothing we can't find out through the help of our friends on the text line. Nothing. Yeah, I used to buy more goldfish. I would be at the goldfish store at any pet shop with a dead goldfish in a bag looking to recreate the pet so that my daughter would come home from school and not know that her goldfish had died. I never like drew on one with a marker or something. You know, I know I've seen pictures or heard stories by people trying to do that. Overfeeding fish doesn't kill them. It just makes their water dirty. Well, you know what? Lots of, what's it, ichthyologists that they call a fish doctor? Anyway, kids are coming over on Thanksgiving. Let's change the subject. Kids are coming over, and I'm sure some of them will be vegan because that's just the way it is with especially kids at an art school, right? I'm thinking that we'll have grain allergies. We'll have milk allergies. We'll have vegans. You know, we'll have gluten-free this. We'll have vegan that. We'll have oat milk this, almond milk that. And I was talking to my wife about, how do we prepare a menu for a bunch of kids we don't know? I don't, you know, we send out a questionnaire about potential allergies. No nuts, no nothing, no gluten. What do I do? And my wife said, you know what? If you bought 5 pizzas and threw them on the table with college kids, regardless of what they're allergic to, they would eat their way through the table. I'm like, that's a pretty fair thing to say about college kids. I think it'd be great to have a bunch of folks we don't know over to, and that could become grossly uncomfortable, right? Maybe imagine 7-8 kids you've never met before coming over for Thanksgiving. Who have befriended my daughter as she's made her way off to college? I think it'd be an amazingly fun night to invite some of these youngsters over, these young adults, youngsters, good Lord. I'll get my model trains out and show them what real fun looks like. Oh, my God, how old am I?
Did you know Rod Stewart is a big model railroader? Useless fact of the evening.
You know what, though? I did know that. I mean, like, to the point of creating whole cities in model railroad scale.
And it is an impressive.
I've seen some of his rail. Yeah, big time. You know, here's a guy that was at one point the sexiest man on the planet, total womanizer. Now he's out there building model railroads. Yeah, like I said, like Bruce says, everything dies, baby. That's a fact. And didn't Neil Young buy his way into Lionel, the model train company?
He had a train fixation,
Neil's,
too.
Yeah, not just the love of model trains, but I think he helped save the company of Lionel. He bought into it and helped keep them buoyant when model railroading became such an antiquated hobby.
Can't say the same for his forays into high-end audio, though.
Neil?
Yeah.
Remember
when he created, I think it was called the Pomo or something. It was this high-end music player.
Oh, that's right.
It was supposed to be like super high fidelity.
Right.
People didn't get into it, but it was a noble attempt, I suppose.
Oh, gosh. So, you know, I love you people, but my former mother-in-law ate that way. I'm assuming that she would eat until she burst. That's not fun. That's not fair. I bet it's true, but it's not funny. Come on. Thanksgiving with total strangers. I think it's going to be fun because, you know, it's a chance for is it annoying? Matt, you tell me. Say you go over to some friend's house, right? You're young-ish to me. You're young. You'll always be young.
I have a youthful spirit.
You do have a youthful spirit. Say you were invited over to a friend, a classmate's house on Thanksgiving, and the father was trying to engage with everybody to make conversation, to learn about each other. So, I mean, you guys can bond and get to know each other. Does that make me just the total dork ruining the experience? Should I just throw the food on the table and close the door behind me and let them just have their time?
No, because to me, part of it is if I'm going out, I want to meet new people and enjoy this experience. And part of the fun of the big dinner is also the camaraderie. So, yeah, get to know me. Let's talk.
That's what I think, too. But it seems of late, every time I'm with my daughter and her friends come around or I take her down to school and drop them off and, you know, and I'm really trying to be careful with my pronouns. I try to engage their friends and I get that look, you know, the look you get from, well, you don't know, but a look you get from a kid when as a parent, you're overstaying your welcome. You know, the questions aren't welcome and you aren't welcome. Just thanks for the ride. You got $20. Get out of here. As the lot of most fathers these days, you know?
Yeah. But it sounds like your kids like you and you get along well. So I imagine that would extend to their friends, right? Because they probably have a very favorable opinion of you.
It's funny. I appreciate you saying that. When I take my kid down to school and drop them off, kids will come over to the van. And please don't take that out of context.
I'm saving that as a drop.
Yeah, it's kids just come over to the van. You know?
Candy too there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they used to have door handles on the inside. Now windows are useless in a van. I'm so sorry. That's terrible. It's like Spike. You know, and I think my daughters told them what we do for a living. And what I've been able to do over the years and some of the things I've been able to experience.
And they have no idea what radio is.
God, isn't that the truth? So I guess I don't know how to handle the Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of kids that I don't know. I want to do the right thing for them. Our goal, of course, is to make them feel welcome. It was my wife's idea, which I think was a beautiful idea. You know, people who are far from home and far from their families, they'd like to have some place that's kind of homey and come over for a nice home-cooked meal instead of eating the usual, you know, the stuff in the school cafeteria. I wonder if the school cafeteria is even open on Thanksgiving. I bet it's not. That's another one. I should find out. I don't want to put flyers up, though. God, what if I get like 30 of them? That'd be awful. My daughter
says the man who just broadcasted it on radio with thousands of people listening.
My home address again is, no, it ain't. I bet the school is making some kind of arrangements for kids who aren't leaving to go back to their hometown. But for those my daughter has befriended and have befriended my, and I appreciate that they've been nice and taken my daughter in as a freshman, we're inviting them over to the house. And the only thing I know about college kids is make more food than I plan on, than I think I need. Overcook. You know, the best part of Thanksgiving is usually leftovers, right? Taking stuff with you. Getting a box of those, like, you know, those, not disposable, but the kind of the temporary Tupperware, you know, glad bag kind of thing. They make little containers with matching lids. And sending each kid home with, like, a little to-go Thanksgiving dinner for tomorrow. Some leftovers. You know? I can imagine the scene at the college dorm now. 3 days later, a dumpster full of the turkey Darby's dad sent home with everybody that nobody ate. And the dumpster at school becomes like this toxic environment growing penicillin. It is Cairo Nights on a Friday before Thanksgiving. The holidays are almost upon us. Next week, man, people will be taking breaks. I know a lot of folks who travel at Thanksgiving take the whole week because you get a 9-day break for just like 3 vacation days. It's the best vacation deal of the year. It's Thanksgiving. I wonder how many devils are going to be asked to work next week. Is there a cot around here? it is the funnest job on the face of the earth. Some texters coming already too. Great. Spike, we've had college kids over for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Best times. Heart-filling stories. Kids always think highly of you, and they think their friends will be comfortable there. Oh, I think their friends will be comfortable there. That's great. I will love it. Thank you. I needed that little bit of encouragement because I'm a little nervous. It's Cairo Nights, Spike O'Neill, along with Matt Butler. Tony's out enjoying the 3-day weekend, huh? After putting his time in? So it's just you, me, and Miles. Nice. We'll be right back after these. I'm Spike O'Neill. Matt Butler's on the board. Man, what a great song. Ooh. It's a fun weekend. No Seahawks football this weekend, by the way. Hawks after their loss in in Munich, Germany. München to the Bucks. Have a weekend off, and then they'll take on the Las Vegas Raiders here at home next Sunday. I know the Wazoo Cougars are down in Arizona taking on the Wildcats in Tucson. That's like an 11 o'clock start tomorrow morning. So if you're a Cougar fan, you probably already know that. If you're just interested, you probably have no idea. 11 o'clock start. Huskies home tomorrow. They'll take on Colorado with a 1-9 record. I give you this information because I'm trying to keep track of what's going on this weekend. I got plans and all that. Huskies are now, they beat the Ducks last week. Huge win, 8-2. Surprise of the Pac-12. One of the biggest surprises in college football after going 4-8 last year, changing coaches the whole nine yards. And then you got a game against a 1-9 team. That's the kind of game you get. It's called a trap game, you know, because you're already looking ahead to Wazoo next week after Thanksgiving, Apple Cup. And the Huskies take it on a 1-9 Buffalo team. And you think to yourself, oh my God, 1-9, they're awful, right? How could you possibly have anything to worry about with a 1-9 football team? And you'd probably be right. But they played some teams tough. Not really. They're pretty bad. I'm trying to find. I love how coaches, you got a game that you're supposed to just walk over somebody. You got to keep your team focused. You got to convince your team. Pete Carroll's great at this. You convince your team that the other team is out for blood. And, you know, don't overlook these guys. Pete Carroll's got that. Every week is a chance to go 1-0. Every week is a championship week opportunity. And it's funny, when Pete Carroll took over the Seahawks job, a lot of folks thought it wouldn't work in the NFL. Because Pete Carroll was, of course, by all accounts, a Hall of Fame college football coach at USC. Hall of Fame. But a lot of sports brainiacs and sports experts, of which I am far from one, we'll tell you that the college athlete is a much different beast than the pro athlete. The college athlete is all about school spirit and the chance to prove themselves to get the prize, the big pro contract and all the taters. And when you get to the pro level, they've got the prize. They've got the brass ring in their hand. They got the taters. And how's someone supposed to take advice or guidance or discipline or direction from somebody who makes less money than they do? How can he possibly know more than me? But Pete Carroll's managed to convince his guys that he has fun. He wants them to be their best. He's sold them the idea that every play is an opportunity to be your best and improve your situation. Not just get the prize, but improve your prize. Get the next contract. Don't rest on your laurels. Don't settle for what you got. There's always more for you if you're willing to work for it. It's a great mentality. Pete wrote a book called Always Winning, or Win Always, I'm sorry. And it's just that mentality of, hey, every opportunity is a chance for you to do your best, be your best, and not waste an opportunity. I've often heard it said that play every show like it's the last time you'll ever get to be on stage. And the same can be said about doing radio. Every time Matt and I get to share these 3 hours with you, get to turn these microphones on and speak to a whole city of people.
We are well aware that it may be our last show.
Especially some of the crap we come up with. No, but you need to view these opportunities. We often talk about what a joy this is to do this for a living, to be able to give you our opinions about stuff. I mean, I just spent last hour talking about feeding college kids. Now I'm talking about college football. The president's going to be, I don't know if indicted and probed by Republican Congress. The former president's got another special prosecutor coming after him. It's a jungle out there. We can talk about any of this stuff. It's a great opportunity to expound on what we go through on a day-to-day basis and share it with you, the audience. It's awesome. But you can't come here and just kind of mail it in. Oh, here's a story. And some days you feel like that in everything we do. Everybody has a job that can become just a more of a pain than an opportunity. I get that. And when you look at it like a work and not an opportunity to enjoy yourself and do something you love, and I'm lucky. It's got to be hard to work on cars. I'm sure there are people who do. They'll work on cars and do what you love every day and not start to dread going in. When I was off the radio and forced to do some sales, you know, which is a completely effort-driven result, you know, that's the only compensation is the result of your efforts. And I saw successful sales folks, and that's how they viewed it. Man, I get to make 125 phone calls today. And I'm like, oh, my God. Got to make 125 phone calls today. And that's you can choose to have a bad day or you can choose not to. And it's funny, the same can be said about, you know, illness. I've heard it said when folks are diagnosed with a serious illness or if you're lost in the woods or you have a car wreck and your car goes off the road, you have to make a choice right there. You know, to survive or not. Whatever you decide to do, that's what's going to happen. If you go to work and you don't want to make phone calls all day and you decide you're going to have a bad day, you are going to have a bad day. And if you decide, hey, you know what? Let's make the most of this. I've got a chance to call people, meet them, get to know them, find out what they need, maybe solve their problems. But you have to decide that's how you're going to embrace the day. Hi, it's Spike O'Neill. I'm calling you about this. We got this. Go out. What? Hello? Every phone call could go like that if you walk into it with just this gloom and doom, cloud over your head. Nothing's going to work. And we saw about college football going into this break. If the Huskies look at their Colorado opponent 1-9 tomorrow and say, oh, these guys are horrible. They got no talent. They got no blah, 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 blah. You can get beat. You know, Colorado, the team with a 1-9 record coming to Seattle tomorrow to play the 15th ranked Huskies by the coaches and AP writers poll, 17th ranked Huskies by the college football playoff poll. You know, beating Washington tomorrow would make their season. Make their season. They're 1-9. But hey, we knocked off the Huskies in Seattle after they beat the Ducks. Woo! See, we're just as good as those guys. They beat the Ducks, we beat the Huskies, so we're just as good as the Ducks. That's the mentality their coaches are using. And if you don't prepare for that opportunity, you can walk in and get just blindsided by a team that doesn't even deserve to be on the same field with you, according to their record. But they got proud athletes who work hard, and you never know. I'm looking forward to the Apple Cup this year. I like watching football. We were talking this afternoon about soccer, and I've never been a soccer fan. I love the enthusiasm of the crowds. Love it. I love how successful the Sounders have been here in Seattle. Love that we set records for how many people we can put down at Lumen Field to watch a Sounders game. It's incredible. I love that we have a pro women's team here. You know, I love that the ladies of World Cup soccer from the Americans, hey, outpace their male brethren. Brethren, can you say brethren male? Is that redundant? I guess brethren is brother, right? They're male counterparts. And fought for pay equity because of it. I thought that was fantastic. Might be the story of the year is that the women's World Cup's U.S. women's soccer players fought for pay equity with their male counterparts. I think it's a fantastic story. I love how Seattle has embraced the sport. I'm not a huge soccer fan. I like a little more action in my sports. I like hockey, like football the most. I know, I forgot how I got on this. I lost my train of thought, man.
Every opportunity to forget what you're saying.
It's obviously reaching the end of our week.
Not at all. I've got plenty of gas left in the tank. There's a downhill coming up, right? Yeah, good. We can drift for a while. It's great. Now, we're talking about, I was talking about football and how it's a passionate game. I love football. I love fans. And I really don't remember what I was talking about. I really did lose my train of thought. It's great. Anyway, Apple Cup coming up this next weekend, not this weekend. And a texter, oh, I like this. I'll look for the text for a little bit. We talk about how much you love your job. And look, every day is an opportunity to do the best you can be. There's no such thing as a bad job, just bad employees. You hear all this kind of crap. There are some cruddy jobs out there. I'm glad I don't get to do them. I'm glad I get to do this with you.
Hey, at least we don't work for Elon.
Hey, geez, a whiz. I'm sending everybody home. Okay, we quit. No, don't go. Another one, if they can keep Elon, can keep Twitter afloat, if it's not going to come crashing down.
Well, he's certainly mastering the part of failing faster.
You know what? He's a genius. No one ever tanked an international business faster than Elon Musk. it's funny. Somebody wrote in, it's important to pay attention to all this political BS. It's just as important not to be consumed by it.
Well said.
That is solid advice, man. It's Kyra Knights, Matt Butler. I'm Spike O'Neill. We'll be right back. I'll remember what I was talking about and come back to it, I promise. Spike O'Neill, it's Matt Butler. And earlier I said Miles Davis, and it was Dave Brubaker. Yeah, and the texters jumped on me for that one, man. You've got a following, by the way, for the fans of this show, the music-wise. You really do. A texter pointed out just a minute ago that they're stuck in traffic down in the south end there with that horrific situation where the guy stole a semi. He carjacked a semi and then flipped it. And then was held up in the turned over cab of the truck and wouldn't surrender The cops had to use an armored vehicle to come in and smash out the window and get the guy out of the truck. Well, you know what they say, Matt. Meth don't smoke itself. People got to be, you know, got to get involved. Anyway, this is a story involving both football and Thanksgiving, I think. So, you know, Apple Cup's a week away still. This weekend's big, though, for a lot of schools. It's getting that time of year. It's November, coming to the end of the regular football season, and God, if you're lucky, maybe a bowl or some playoffs. So over in the Ivy Leagues, not known for its sports, you know, Harvard University, I mean, I guess it's Harvard University, right? It's Harvard. Those places, those one-name places, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, the Ivy League, Cornell. Harvard and Yale play football this Saturday. And for college football fans, it's nothing. You know, I mean, these are guys who are going to go on and save the world and put rockets on Mars and cure cancer. And some of them actually can play football, too, a little bit. Smart, smart people go to Harvard and Yale. And smart people go, don't get me wrong, smart people go to UW. Smart people play football at the UW. Smart people play football at Wazoo. College athletes are some of the brightest and smart. Oh, God. And then I think Herschel Walker and Spike, no one's buying this. College football players aren't always the smartest people in the room, but a lot of them are. It's always bad idea to generalize. Anyway, Harvard plays Yale this weekend. And Harvard is contemplating changing their mascot to increase school spirit. Matt, you're not a sports fan. So I don't.
I am a casual fan. I'm not an avid follower.
Right, you're
I
not,
just enjoy
well, you're not
the
a
spectacle.
Fanatic is the word you're looking
yes.
for. Do you know Harvard's mascot?
I do not.
It's no, many fanatics don't know Harvard's mascot. But they are the Crimson. That's what they that's the mascot that they play for. The Crimson. That's the color of their school's crest, their school logo, you know, the traditions. That are, I mean, Yale, for example, are the Bulldogs. Some, not all. Princeton is the Tigers. Cornell, I believe, is Big Red. There's several other Ivies that have mascots. So, you know, rich people go to Harvard. That's true. Did you see a story a couple weeks ago that schools like Harvard and Princeton were offering free tuition for families under a certain pay level? Because they wanted folks in their school, they thought it would be fun to have, not fun, beneficial to the student body to have some diversity.
Oh, that sounds amusing. Hey, we rich kids think it would be really fun if we had some poor people come to our school.
Well, don't be so cynical, my friend. They had an altruistic.
It's my brand.
I know.
Everybody has to have a brand. Cynicism is mine, and aging hipsterism also.
They had an altruistic, you know. God, I can remember altruistic, but not intent. That's the word I was looking for. Boy, it is late. They wanted diversity in their schools, and they thought that their school should be available. Opportunities like Harvard or Yale should be available to people of modest economic means. You know. Anyway, I'm straying. Harvard wants a new mascot to bolster school spirit, and they had a vote amongst their student body. And the two finalists were put up for a final vote. And of the two finalists, we have a winner. And since I said it's a Thanksgiving story and a football story, I bet you can guess what won as the new Harvard mascot. The buttered biscuit. No, I'm kidding. No. A turkey.
Well, they can do a gravy costume.
I think the loser was funnier than the winner. So Harvard's new mascot that will be unveiled this Saturday at the Harvard-Yale football game, it's their Apple Cup, Harvard and Yale, you know? We always, by the way, at the UW, kick their ass in rowing and crew, always. So Harvard is now the turkeys, and they'll unveil the mascot this weekend. But coming in second was the lobster. I think that's awesome. Harvard's two student-nominated options for mascot. Students voted on a field of finalists. The final two went down to a final vote. Primaries were held. You know, and Harvard beat the turkey beat out the lobster, and Harvard has a new mascot, the Harvard turkey. This might just be all for fun. I can't believe that people who spend, you know, $80,000-$90,000 a year to go to college, are going to run around wearing sweatshirts with turkeys on them. I mean, you never know. Gators are fun. Turkeys, no. The crimson and clover. You're a maestro, my friend. It's Friday night.
I just got paid.
Nope, Evil doesn't crap till next week. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back.